I have several friends that I served with who actually stayed in the military, and actually I've had a few friends who paid the ultimate price and have given their life for our country. And so this weekend is a special weekend in a lot of ways as we remember those who have paid that ultimate price for us. And so I wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit today. That's not the whole center of the message, but you realize that all over this country we have memorials to remind us of different wars and sacrifices that have been made. And it is something that even God set up in the Old Testament, where he had the Israelites set up memorials to remember, to remind them about the great things where he provided for them and where he delivered them and was shown strong as their God. And I want to just read a scripture in Joshua 4, just kind of as a jumping off point to start into this. And Joshua 4:4 says, "So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones were to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever.'" This, and I mentioned, we have memorials today as well all around our country that remind us of those things, just as the Israelites did. And, there's some that were heroic deeds that you may hear about, where somebody charged into a machine gun nest or threw themselves under a grenade or did something that just was worthy of note. But then there's millions, really, there's thousands of people who have died for our country who just died doing their duty. No real... they simply were just being obedient and following orders and doing what they're called to do. And so both of them are equally important and necessary and worthy of praise and recognition and memorializing. And so I want to pray this morning that let's just ask the Lord's presence here. Father, we thank you that you are already here, God, but we ask that you, Lord, work through our hearts. Help us to hear your voice this morning. God, I pray for your spirit to just flow through me, God, and that the words I speak would not be my own, but yours, Lord, and that your anointing would rest, and that we would be changed, God, that you would challenge us this morning through your word. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, maybe you're not very connected with that thought. I mean, maybe the Memorial Day or Memorial, remembering those who have paid the ultimate price is pretty far from your thinking. Maybe we finally have summer. So you're thinking, okay, we're going to grill out. We got everybody coming over. There's the big events and get-togethers, right? I mean, we're having one too. So, not just singling you guys out. Okay, we're looking forward to that. But it's kind of the farthest thing from our mind is what this weekend is about. And if we think about the sacrifices that have been laid down, the lives that have been laid down for our freedoms, it really puts us in a different mindset, I think. Because we were like, we aspire to live like that. We want to be seen as, filling a role, doing our duty, being heroic, and all of those things. In fact, if you go to, many of us have been to funerals, and I find that a commonality there when we're at the funeral, everybody is like, I really now realize how great of a person or how great of a Christian or whatever the person was, and I want to be more like that. It challenges us. Because we're kind of faced with our short life that we have. In fact, as we look at this, there's a memorial I want to talk about, and it's probably not one that's celebrated in our nation's capital. It's not dedicated by Secretary of State or anything like that or any kind of officials, but it's the memorial of our lives, our memorial. Now you're like, whoa, come on, Pastor Mike, I wanted this to be a good weekend, and we're going to talk about death. And well, in reality, though, we're living right now, but all of us, we're going to die unless Jesus comes back before that happens. And our life that we live is super important right now. And so, in fact, our time we know is limited. Scripture says in James 4:14, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." It's like the fog that appears over a lake in the morning, and as the sun comes up, it's gone. It's that quick. Our life that we live right now on this earth is just a punctuation in the line of eternity. It's so small. In fact, if we look at it like that, it kind of puts it, for me, in a different perspective. Because we get all worked up about, my life is terrible, this is going on, and I can't, you know, why am I stressing out over these circumstances, and life's not going how I want. And we realize that this is just a tiny part of what we experience, being eternal, having an eternal soul that can spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. And so when we look at that, hopefully it puts us in a different focus. We need to think about this in a different light. And now, as we pass from this earth, there will probably be a marker. You've probably seen, Kim and I took a strange trip through Washington, D.C. We were on our honeymoon, our first time together, and like a little vacation time, and we said she wanted to go to Washington, D.C. Now, I didn't want to go to the city at all, because I don't want to drive in all the traffic, and so we worked it out on a map where we could take one exit, go by, see maybe the Capitol or something that was of note, and then right back on the highway and back home. That was how I had it worked out. So the first exit we get off, we turn, and we're supposed to make a left. And it's a one-way. We can't go left. So traffic light changes. Turn right. Now we're heading down into the middle of the city. And we drove all over trying to find our way back out. We saw everything, I think. It's crazy. I mean, we saw Arlington twice. We're back to Arlington again. We were all over it. I'll tell you what, as we went by Arlington, that was one of the things, the cemetery filled with gravestones of these crosses and just markers of those that had laid down their life. And we're going to have a marker too. It may be a stone, it may be a plaque, or you know, something to say that you were here, okay? And there's usually, the name is on there. Might look like one I have up here, I think, on the screen. Yeah, your name here, okay? I did Photoshop that. I wasn't sure about putting somebody else's name that was on there from. But, you're going to have a name on there. You're going to have the date you were born, the date that you passed away, and then maybe a scripture or a saying. And some of the sayings, devoted mother, loving father, you name it, right? Love is enough, okay? But there's also something else on there that we kind of overlook a lot. And it's that little tiny line between the dates. And that line, that little dash, I circled it so you could find it, I know it's that small, that dash basically represents our life on this earth. That little tiny dash contains everything that is us. From when we are born, all the memories, all the life. I almost wish we could zoom in and you could see all of that that happens in that little dash. The highs, the lows, the joy, the sorrow, all of the experiences that we go through contained in that little dash. It's insignificant. It almost seems kind of flippant to put just a dash. It should be like something big there, like a star or something. I don't know. Something more than a dash. But that represents our life. And I think about, here's my big question. So what kind of life is represented by your dash? What kind of life are we leaving behind? What kind of memory are we leaving behind? What kind of impact? And that's the big question today. And I think it's really clear from Scripture that everyone here can live a life worth remembering, worth copying, by following a few simple, I say simple in parentheses, simple steps from God's Word. If we do this, it's just like the stones in the Jordan River. You know, people will be able to point to that and say, that's somebody that God worked through. That's somebody worth emulating, worth copying. And so the first step in... Well, here, get ready, okay, because I know this is deep, deep, deep stuff. Are you ready? Get out your notepads, pens, iPads, whatever, okay? You want to write this down? The first step in living a life worth remembering is to follow Jesus daily. Whew. Mind's blown, right? That was tough, okay. Now, it's simple to say, it's harder to do. In reality, we all would say, oh, of course, follow Jesus. That would, of course, make my life memorable. But in reality, that's hard to do. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Now, I think the key word in that whole, there's a lot of great things in there, but the key word in that is daily, every day, to follow Jesus. You know, it didn't say monthly or weekly or just on Sundays, daily. And I know that's so true. Even like how God provided for the Israelites while they were wandering in the desert, he provided manna each day. He didn't give them a year's supply because, you know, they would have forgot who gave them all of that food, just like we would. And we tend to do. Because we are human. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We just kind of go our own way. We forget that we serve a God who made us, who created us to be these amazing, in the image of God, and living here to have impact, to reach out, to show His love to others around us. And so this follow Jesus daily is really, really hard sometimes. And we need reminders. You know, we need reminders in our country of what happened in the past, so we don't repeat it. We don't go back and repeat that history over and over again. We can make better decisions. And the same thing in our life. We need to focus on the Lord daily, follow Him daily. And there's a couple of points I want to hit in there. In 2 Timothy, it says to take up his cross, back up a second, to deny ourselves, you know, not my will, but yours be done. That's what Jesus even prayed. You know, we have to deny ourselves because I want to do what I want to do. I don't always want to do what God wants me to do. And everyone here in this room can relate with that. We tend to want to, you know, self. It's all about me. Now you're like, no, brother, that's not me. I serve the Lord all the time. Well, your heart doesn't want to do that. He changes our hearts. And we have to focus on, say, God, I want to follow you every day. Deny ourselves. We have to deny those desires, those wants that go against God's desire, and say, I'm going to follow you, Lord, just like Jesus prayed, you know, even to your will, Lord, but not mine. And to take up our cross, and I put a couple things in parentheses on my notes, just kind of to endure hardship. I thought about, what does the cross represent? It's to endure hardship. It's to crucify sin in our lives, to deal with sin, and to receive forgiveness. I mean, all of that is encompassed in that. And there's so much more. I mean, I can't cover it in one message or even just this point. And 2 Timothy 4:5 says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And I thought about that in relation to my military service. You know, we were given general orders that we had to memorize. Everybody had the same orders. That if you weren't in doubt what you were supposed to do, you follow those general orders and you'll be okay. That was what everybody understood as a soldier. And so whether you were in hardship, whether things were going bad for you, you're like, you know what, stick to the general orders. We don't know where our sergeant is. We don't know what to do. Follow the general orders. And God's given us the same kind of thing. He says, follow me. Look to me. Every time a situation arises, you're not sure what to do, and you start to think, maybe I know what I should do, look to God. Follow Jesus daily. In every situation, in every encounter that we have, that we would look to God. Say, God, help us to make the right decision. And to do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And we've been given a ministry, whether you think you're a minister or not. You have been given a ministry. It's just to do everything that we're called to do faithfully, to follow Jesus. And then the last thing, it says to follow Him. It says, do what He did. Pray, serve, love, all the things that you read in the Bible that Jesus did. Emulate that. Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice and the God of peace will be with you. You know, Jesus prayed. He served disciples. He served mankind. He loved relentlessly without end. We're to do the same thing. And I know in that one statement of follow Jesus daily, it's easy to say but harder to do. This is where it kind of comes down to it. Because, you know, we have some people that we come in contact with which are really, really hard to love, right? Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, somebody like, and it's hard. And they know that you have a hard time with it. So they like kind of move in on that and prod and poke. And you know, you're like, I'm called to love them. God help me. Because I want to kill them, but I'm not going to. But to everything that we've learned and seen and received from God, we would put that into practice in our lives. That's part of following daily. And I think that really is the biggest part of it, is daily. Because if we wake up and we just go on with our day, something will come up, the enemy will look for an opportunity to steer us off course or to get our thought life going in another direction where it shouldn't go, and we begin to not follow Jesus. We don't listen for His voice to give us the next step, the next direction, and we get off track. And so every day, God, help me to follow you. When your feet hit the floor from the bed in the morning, say, God, help me to follow you. Help me to please you today. Help me to serve you today. Help me to listen for your voice. That's important because it sets the focus of your day and following Jesus daily. Now, all of this, of course, assumes that we have a relationship with the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you don't, the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you have to start there. Once you receive Jesus into your life, he changes you, makes you a new creation. You can begin following out and experiencing more of his plan. Because right now, if you don't have that relationship, you're lost. You're wandering. Somebody may not even realize that you're lost. But he loves you right in the midst of our sin. And so, I have one other scripture I want to share with you before I move on. And Jesus prayed and he loved and all of this just over and over without end. And I kind of have to get in my head sometimes, it's not about doing, because we can do a lot of things, but it's about being. You know, Jesus, we emulate what we see Jesus do. It has to become part of who we are. And Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Because if we're just doing stuff, it's hard. It really wears you down. Because I've got to do the next thing, and I've got to look for the next thing to do. Instead of just resting and knowing and following Jesus and letting him develop me into who I'm supposed to be so that it's who I am. So that loving people isn't just something, I've got to love people today. It becomes who you are. So that when you rub shoulders and elbows with people in your workplace, it's just who you are. You don't have to be like, I got to turn on the Christian switch or put on the Christian hat or shirt today so that I remember to love people. It just becomes part of your nature. And there's other scripture in 2 Peter that talks about how we can participate in the divine nature, and it's through his word and his promises. And so it's doable. It is so possible in our lives. And I think sometimes we struggle with that so hard. We try and make it harder than it is. So that's the first step, is to follow Jesus daily. And I was thinking about as well, and talk about like people who have done heroic things, or even people who have succeeded, and they're like, wow, that person is really notable because of something they did. And the human nature wants to fill that part. We want to be seen as important or successful or somebody to look up to. But in honesty, the people who accomplish the most generally are the ones that just go through and are following, they're like following those general orders. They're doing what God's called them to do. They're maintaining that relationship first and foremost with God. You're not looking for, how can I be seen as greater? I mean, the disciples were that way. They wanted to be like, hey, who's the greatest, Jesus? Is it me? Or, who's going to sit on your right and your left? It's not about that. It's about just following Jesus, doing whatever he calls us to do. And he develops us and grows us into who he wants us to be. So the second step to living a memorable life is to look for daily opportunities to be used by God. And this is one that does take a little bit of action on our part. We need to look for those opportunities so that we can be ready when it comes. Because if you think that things are just happening around you, I'm sorry, but you're misguided. God is setting up situations all the time for us. There are no coincidences. Let me say that there's no coincidences in your life. You sit down next to somebody in a restaurant or wherever it is, and they start a conversation with you, or you're at the gas pump and the guy next to you is talking to you. You're like, that's kind of funny. No, it's not. That's an opportunity that God has set up, that he has preordained for you to be able to pour into that person's life. You'd be like, what am I going to say? I don't know. But God leads you just to be nice, maybe to respond back instead of like pumping your gas, pretend you didn't hear him or see him, right? You ever catch eyes with somebody and you're like, okay, all right, we do that. But instead, turn it around and say, I'm looking for opportunities that God is opening for me. In Psalm 37:23, it says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." That's the awesome thing. If you think about, there's no coincidences anymore. God is directing your steps. He's leading you to every situation, every place, even when your car gets a flat tire and you're sitting there changing a tire out on the side of the road and it's raining in the mud and you lose the lug nuts and whatever happens. Okay, I think that's pretty bad. And somebody pulls over because they see you struggling. Like, there's an opportunity. You're like, my tire's flat and I lost the lug nuts and this won't work. And you know what? It's a tire. You'll get over it. You're late for the thing, right? The next event. Oh, well. In the big scheme of eternity, this is an opportunity for you to pour into somebody else, to be able to connect with them, if nothing else. And maybe, who knows, you might be the only Christian that they know then. And you run into them again, like the next day, and you're like, hey, didn't you just help me with the tire? Yeah, how about that? What a coincidence! No! It's not a coincidence anymore, because God ordains our steps. He orders that. He sets it up. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which, get this, God prepared in advance for us to do." Yeah, wow. That's what God is saying. He set these things up. There's no accident in that. So we have to keep our minds in the right place with that so that we can be looking for those opportunities. Because I know, I've done it. We're in a hurry. We've got things to do. Very important things to do, right? We all are very important. And I'm hurrying. People have called me on it, and this is a part of my nature, I know. Because I remember one time we were getting ready for an outdoor service. It might have been a Memorial Day, whatever, but we were doing something outside, and we're setting up the sound, and I'm just like doing all this stuff, right? Got to get it done. It's very important. It is. It's important, but not that important. To where I was kind of blowing by people and not really connecting. And one of my friends says, "Hey, I know you're really, really busy. I know how it is like when you're like this." Oh, ouch. What do you mean by that? Yeah, I know what he meant. Because it was a little check to my spirit of, you know what, slow down. There's people that I'm supposed to connect with. And I know it being in ministry, you know, I don't think much of it. But people are like, you know, you didn't shake my hand. I didn't. I was just kind of on my way to the bathroom or something. I don't know. Sorry. I'm not sure what it is. But we need to realize that there's opportunities all around us. And we've missed it sometimes. I know that because I'm too hurried and I'm worried about what I needed or what I wanted to be thinking about. You know, it goes back to that denying myself. It's a really strong point there. And Colossians 4:5 says this. It says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." You know, I think that as we go around, we need to realize that, again, God has set up these meetings for us. And it says, that, you know, make the most of every opportunity. Be wise about it. Think about it. Let your speech be seasoned with grace, you know, full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we can impact others around us, so that the door will be open. They're like, "Whoa, he's too busy. I can't talk to him." Or, "Man, he just kind of shunned me. You know, I made eye contact with him. I made a smile, and he kind of was like, nope, got stuff to do. I don't want to talk to you. You're in the grocery line. You're in a hurry, right? Person ahead of you's got 16 items in the 12-item line. Oh, yeah. They don't need Jesus right then." Yeah, they do. You do, probably at that point. It's looking for those opportunities. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light shine everywhere. That's what we're called to do. That's how we become more like Jesus. We have to be intentional. Say, "God, work through me. I'm broken. I'm damaged goods. I need you to do it. It's not something I'm really, really good at." But he makes us awesome at connecting with people when we let him shine through us. So they're going to praise our Father in heaven. They're going to glorify him. And God has set up all kinds of things and situations that are designed to give him glory through our lives. That amounts to a life that's worth memorializing. That's worth emulating, copying. You know, that makes our dash worthwhile. Because it's not about stuff. It's not about, you know, how many, what kind of possessions you can acquire. We know that's all empty. That's all temporary. It's all going to burn. But we need to stay focused or we're going to miss those opportunities that are wide open around us. People are like, "Well, I'm not a very outgoing person." You don't have to be an outgoing person. You can witness to people who aren't as outgoing, just like you are, because they connect. Have you ever noticed that? You know, different. It's kind of like, oh, the shy people are all together, and those, you know, very loud, talkative corner over there. Not talking about you guys, but anyway, it's just they kind of, you know, go together. So you can share with those people. You can look for those opportunities. And I'll tell you what, God will also put you outside of your circle, outside of your comfort zone, because he's trying to grow you as well. I've told this story to the youth a long time ago, but I remember we were standing, and it was a Taco Bell line. We're waiting for our fast food. There's a lot of people there, and the guy right in front of me was not of my circle. He was he had a lot of piercings, and he had a lot of tattoos, and he was like, it was the whole black goth thing going on. And I'm standing there like, okay, do I want three tacos or whatever? You know, and I kind of bumped into him. like, I don't know if I was swaying or whatever because of the food aroma, I don't know. But anyway, I was like not paying attention, and I kind of bumped into this guy, which you couldn't miss, and he kind of looks at me, and I was like, you know, like, I'm not sure what to do right now. And I felt the Lord kind of saying, you need to talk to him. And I like, hey, how's it going? And it just kind of struck up a conversation in my style and not his style. But he opened up and began talking with me. And then next thing you know, we had some common ground. And I had, in the military, gotten into alcohol and drugs and, you know, gotten away from God. And I kind of shared that with him. And he was like, you know, he was really struggling in the area. And a connection was made outside of my circle. In fact, other people who were with me were like kind of backing away and not sure what's going down here. But God will call us to do that if we look for those opportunities. And he'll enable you to do it. You know, it's not you. It's his Spirit working through you. It's not your job to convict people of sin. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. So it's not on us. We just have to be open and look for those opportunities. I'll just say this in adding to that. Kim and I just recently moved. We thank the Lord for helping us to sell our house and got another place just not too far from the church here. And so it's a whole new neighborhood, and it's kind of a tight-knit little group, homeowners association thing. But we've been meeting new people, and so far everybody's been just super great. And I said to my, I said this to myself, I was like, you know what, every person I meet, I'm going to look at this as an opportunity that God is laying out before me. Because I don't know what their story is. I don't know the history. You know, we've run into a few folks who are Christians, we've run into a few who aren't, and we're making connections. I'm like, God, use this. I know there's no coincidence that you have placed us right here for this time. And so we're going to look for those opportunities to be a light, to be a blessing. And so we're praying that God shows us that. And you should do the same. Think about your neighborhood that way. You know, God's placed you there. He's determined the exact times and places where you should live so that men might seek him. He's ordained this. He's set it up. Just be ready, because God will use you when you do that. And it will kind of stretch you sometimes. The third step is to focus our life on eternal things rather than temporary. Eternal things, things that are eternal, the Word of God is eternal. Our souls are eternal. God's kingdom is eternal. You know, we can get wrapped up in our, you know, getting a better house and a bigger car or a better car, whatever it might be, and all these things that we kind of get consumed with. We got to have the next latest iPad or whatever. I don't, because mine's broken and it's working, but, you know. But we get tied up in that stuff. And in 1 Peter 1:3-5, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." This inheritance that we have, it's imperishable. It cannot be taken away. It's eternal. It's our relationship with the Lord. It's our salvation. It's just to be revealed in the last day. And he keeps us. He helps us. And so we got to keep our minds again, you know, following Jesus daily, looking for those opportunities, and then realize that it's not about what we see around us. It's eternity. There's a whole unseen realm that's happening around us that's eternal. And we need to keep our minds and our hearts focused on that. And, you know, one of the scriptures that I always come back to in Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." You know, there's so many things that we put our faith in and our stock in that we trust in this world that are going to burn, that are not going to be here, that are not solid. Where we move, there's a lot of sand, and there's houses that have been built on dunes and things like that kind of back in there, or the ground isn't very stable. And I've talked to two different neighbors who had to redo their foundation because it wasn't done right in the first place, but it was on the sand and it was shifting, and people build their whole lives on that. We put our faith in those things, and all that stuff is temporary. The eternal, God's word, it says it's going to be here forever. It will never pass away. So when everything else fails, when the world is falling apart, when governments are failing, when everything doesn't make sense, we can always stand on God's word. Every time. That's our solid rock that we can trust to take us through. When everything else is fading, we can trust God's word. You know, it should be the highest importance in our life. Because part of that following Jesus daily comes from knowing who he is. And we know who he is through the word of God. We know who he is and what he does and what he wants us to do through the word of God. And so it should be the highest importance of making us who we're supposed to be. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. That's God's instruction to us, to keep that book of the law, the word of God, always on our lips. It means we talk about it. It means we think, and it's just to meditate on it day and night, to think about it. Again, that's just like my feet hit the floor. God, help me to honor you. Help me to follow you. Help me to hear your voice today. Those are things I want to have God's word in my heart all the time. So I meditate on it. So when a decision comes my way or a situation faces me, I can know what God's will is. And Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, that's so important that we do that, that we read God's word, that we study it. And you know, I'm guilty of this. Alex and I were talking about devotional life, that kind of thing. And he said he had a one-year Bible, you know, and he had the where you check off what you've read. You didn't write it. What he read. And I said, well, yeah, I have that kind of thing, a little plan you check off. It's on my phone. You know, you check it off. And I said, the other day I looked at it, and I was like, oh, man, there's not a lot of check marks in that month. And I'm just saying we're all there. It's got to be important in our life. And so I'll tell you what I did. I went back to my paper Bible. So it just faces me all the time. And I don't have like, oh, yeah, I just, that reminder popped up. Yeah, I'll just slide that aside and I'll read my email or do something else. Like, you know, there's probably a deal on Amazon that I'm missing right now. Hey. But the Word of God is more important than that. So I need to make that a priority. And it's got to be a priority in our life. We have to hide that Word in our heart, get more of God's Word active in our life. And how we make decisions, we base it off of God's Word, the thing that never passes away. Not the temporary, not the I think so. It's the solid Word of God. And we can trust that. Another thing that is eternal, and I think this is probably the focus of this message, apart from following Jesus daily and looking for those opportunities, is that people, the souls of those around us, that's what God's kingdom is, built of, made of. And we're called to reach those around us. That's what we're here for. You know, if your life, at the end of your life, everybody, you know, reflects around your casket or whatever, and they're talking about your life. It should be about all the people you impacted, not like, man, he really had a nice car. And wow, this, you know, the stuff, I do a lot of remodeling work. I really hope people aren't like, man, he really did a good job on that house. Man, I've missed it if that's all I'm known for. Got to be able to impact people. Because that is what we're called to do. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. It's the people around us. It's that person that you can't get along with very well at work. It's the family member that doesn't know God, who would have nothing to do with God, that we're called to be a light to, that we're called to show God's love toward. Not temporary things. That's what we're called to do. That will result in a life worth remembering, worth memorializing, worth copying. In Matthew 6:19-21, it says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, this is the thing, is our heart is focused on reaching the lost, on following God, on looking for those opportunities to be used by Him. It's like storing up storehouses full of treasure in heaven. That's where our eternity is anyway. It's not here. I mean, don't take me wrong. I mean, it's okay to have a nice house. It's okay to have a nice car, all those things. And, you know, you have to work. I understand that. You know, you're not going to, unless God calls you to it or something, but you're not going to sell everything, live out of the back of your van. I mean, that's not what God's calling us to do. But He's calling us to have our hearts and our minds focused on Him and eternity. You know, that's where He wants us to live. And so think about I'm going to kind of bring us back around here. Think about your own life right now. And if your days were to be numbered tomorrow, you know, or the next week, you know, what does your life speak? What does the dash represent? How many people have you poured into, or is it something you've kind of always shied away from? You know, that's that's hard. I'm saying this to myself as well. How many people have I kind of blown off because I've been too busy? God's called us to reach everyone around us in our circle that we have influence. And that's hard. But he'll enable us to do it. God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's enabled us to speak and share his love that he's poured into us over and over and over again. So that dash should represent something awesome. It should represent our life impacting others around us. So following Jesus, looking for opportunities and experiencing people around you changed. It'll happen because God's Holy Spirit doesn't fail. His word doesn't fail. It comes, brings back the result that he desires. It doesn't return empty. The last thing I want to read to you, and this is actually something Kim led me to here, and it's a poem by Edgar Lee Masters, and it talks about a man who carved gravestones. And I want to read it for you in closing. So if the worship team would come as read this. It says, "When I first came to Spoon River, I did not know whether what they told me was true or false. They would bring me an epitaph and stand around the shop while I worked and say, 'He was so kind. He was wonderful. She was the sweetest woman. He was a consistent Christian.' And I chiseled for them whatever they wished, all in ignorance of its truth. But later, as I lived among the people here, I knew how near to the life were the epitaphs that were ordered for them when they died. But still I chiseled whatever they paid me to chisel, and myself party to the false chronicles of the stones, even as a historian who writes without knowing the truth or because he is influenced to hide it." So my prayer today is that no one has to make up anything on your gravestone.